You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It is Tuesday, August 5th, 2025. We're coming to you pre-recorded from Monday, August 4th at about 2 o'clock p.m. on the left coast. That's where we are in the time-space continuum right now. This is Weekly Skews. I'm Trey. That's Mark. How's it going, Mark?
Good, man. I had a good weekend. Hope you did, too. Our president had an interesting weekend. He spent it feuding with Charlemagne the God and repositioning nuclear subs to threaten Russia with nuclear war, perhaps because he saw a fake tweet from Dmitry Medvedev saying that Russia was also had copies of Epstein's sex tapes.
Right. Wait, you said it was a fake clip?
Fake tweet, yeah.
Oh, I thought I saw – yeah. Wasn't there a clip of some Russian guy that said something like it would be a mistake for him to assume that only Mossad has those tapes?
That was Medvedev, but I thought it was I'm not saying it wasn't fake.
Yeah. Of course, if it was fake, I just totally believe that it happened.
So. I also don't speak Russian, so if they just put fake captions on it, it would have to be AI.
Yeah.
But Trump doesn't speak Russian either. But like, our nation's ruler is slandering Charlemagne while threatening invasion over insults to his sexual honor. This is such a Middle Ages ass problem.
Yep. Time to bust out the guillotines. I've been saying, but you know,
the guy of the Middle Ages already kind of solved this problem with the sexual honor invasion thing. The Habsburgs just had sex with each other, so it was no real problem, you know.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, I mean, I'm sure Trump would be on board with that based on some of the rumors out there.
Yeah. Before we get to the show, I want to check on random little cities occasionally. And let's talk about Nashville for a second, in your home state of Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fraud trial going on where a guy named Mark Jankbosch, sorry, I don't know how to say it. Just call him Mark. Mark is on trial for fraud related to some car dealerships he owned or used to own. He also owns a famous music venue called Plaza Mariachi. Last week's testimony featured a guy named Chad May, who showed up to testify wearing a linen shirt, baggy khaki chinos, and long white hair pulled back in a multi-bubble ponytail. All right, just to set the vibe for you. May had served as the head of IT at his car dealerships beginning in 2001, and then he's basically been called to testify about some emails he was asked to delete, okay? So the defense got to go around to cross-examining Chad May and eventually asked him, are you terrified of Mr. Jankbosch because you think he's a lizard person? And then May responded, I don't know if he's a lizard person. There's a difference between a belief and entertaining something as an idea. And then went on to explain what he called his extended imagination, which helps him perceive reptilian characteristics in people.
Okay.
Now, we've all heard the lizard person conspiracy theory, right? It's something called the Babylonian Brotherhood, popularized by conspiracy theorists by the name of David Icke, who's very famous. The idea is basically that shape-shifting, blood-sucking lizard people rule the world through a cabal that, you know, the usual suspects, Obama, Hillary Clinton, British royalty, celebrities, sometimes Donald Trump.
Right. She said sometimes Donald Trump. I used to, back in the early days of Well-Read and stuff, I would use lizard people just as like a catch-all for, you know, rich and power, the rich and powerful, oligarchs and overlords and plutocrats and that type of thing. And, you know, my fan base being what it is, I was told along the way that we should stop doing that because the lizard people thing, like most conspiracy theories, was at its root about the Jews, was like an anti-Semitic thing. So if you're calling rich people lizards, it sounds like you hate Jews or something. And I was like, well, I didn't even know that. Now I know that if I say that, it might, but you know, like fucking this is your fault. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, always, because you can't, like, you dabble into stuff that eventually could bug up against anti-Semitism. Right. So at this point in the trial, the prosecutor was like, wait a minute. He tried to object. The judge overruled him. I just, like, as a longtime fan of Law & Order, I just, like, this whole lizard person thing and the judge being like, I'll allow it.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I don't blame him. It's, you know, that's when I was like, let's see where this is going type thing.
Yeah.
I would want to know, I think, if I was the judge.
Me too. Courts are boring as fuck. But the real procedural thing was, and this is, you might as well watch Law & Order also get around to this, the prosecution had quote-unquote opened the door by asking Mr. May how he felt about, you know, Mr. Jankbash. So, like, the lizard person's in bounds of his feelings. You asked how he felt. I'm asking how he felt, if the guy's a lizard being. So they introduced, like, blog posts by May where he had quotes such as, I see London, I see France, I see reptiles in golfing pants. And he claimed that he has an uncanny ability to spot pedophiles. So my real takeaway here is, like, with how crazy everyone's gotten on the fucking internet, this is a real opportunity for every defense attorney. Because if you ask somebody if they believe in, like, lizard people or the earth is flat or whether the defendant was drinking adrenochrome, you're about to have a 1 in 3 chance of getting a yes to one of those questions.
Right. And then you just discredit everything they say. Yeah, you would think. Although then maybe, you know, then the judge is like, finally, somebody who gets it, you know, like the judge is on their team too. You know, you never know.
I would especially advise any enterprising defense attorney to try this gambit if the witness has a ponytail and a blog. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll go ahead and get into it. But first, of course, I got some announcements. As always, if you'd like to see me do stand-up live and in person, you should go to treycrowder.com and check out my upcoming tour dates. Indianapolis this weekend, and then Austin, Texas, St. Louis, Missouri, upstate New York, Connecticut, all through Ohio, and then in October, Virginia, as I was telling Mark, and then other places after that, the rest of 2025. So go to treycrowder.com and check it out. You can also, while you're there, check out a link to my most recent special, Trash Daddy. If you want to get to know producer Matt a little more and get some good news in your life, check out his audio exclusive called Good Skews. Audio exclusive means that it's only available on the podcast feed or audio version of this show. So you have to go to the audio version and subscribe to it if you want to hear producer Matt's Good Skews, which you should check out. And finally, if you enjoy this program and would like to show your support, you can do so by signing up on Patreon. Go to weeklyskews.com/more or just go to Patreon and search for my name. Either way works. $5 a month gets you access to 2 full-length bonus episodes. Do additional episodes of this show, but sometimes we do Q&As as well. So if you like this, you'll like that. Get some more skews in your life. Support the show in the process. So as for the show tonight, Trump got some bad news last week and responded in the only way he knows how, just denying its existence and firing a person, two things that he's very good at. My grandpa's old approach to medicine, you know, if you never go to the doctor, you can't have nothing wrong with you. You know, if you just keep acting like everything's fine, then you won't die of a massive heart attack before the age of 70, which is what happened to him. Anyway, we got all that coming up soon. But first, the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Tonight's DD, Christians who didn't read the fine print where Jesus warned you not to take his financial or legal advice.
Caitlin and I are being charged in a civil charge from the Colorado Securities and Exchange Commission for basically selling millions of dollars worth of cryptocurrency that is deemed worthless by the state. Now, the reason that they're seeing that it's worthless is because there is no exit for people who have bought. We launched an exchange. The exchange technology failed. Things went downhill. And from that point forward, we've just been waiting on the Lord literally for a miracle. So the charges are that Caitlin and I pocketed $1.3 million. And I just want to come out and say that those charges are true. So there's $1.3 million that's been taken out of, I think it was a total of $3.4 million. But out of that 1.3, half $1 million went to the IRS and a few hundred thousand dollars went to a home remodel that the Lord told us to do.
All right. I'm sure. All right. So.
Well, who could stay mad at that? So, what was he supposed to do? Deny the Lord's wishes to get that new kitchen island going and fucking fill out the back patio and stuff? Get a yurt out back?
So I find this whole like fusion of like evangelism with like big tech interesting. There's a lot of aspects of it, right? This guy's just got into fucking crypto and started his own crypto exchange, like a lot of him doing. He's just like a mid-tier local evangelist pastor. I don't even think he's that big of a church, but like this guy's name is Eligio Regalado. Him and his wife Caitlin were indicted for 40 counts of theft, securities fraud, and racketeering last week. So they created and sold a cool God-inspired cryptocurrency. How the fuck did we get to the point where we're doing this? It's called Index Coin. It raised near $3.4 million, like you said, by marketing it to their Christian followers. But like he admitted, it was just, they just basically used it to buy their own shit. It's a Ponzi scheme, right? They just took money out of their fake crypto exchange and bought themselves shit with it, like our home remodel. Mm-hmm. And I guess he thinks he didn't know he could, like he said he went to the crypto business because the Lord told him to in a dream.
The Lord is a crypto bro on coke at a fucking college party, right? Or whatever. The Lord get corners you fucking at 2 a.m. and won't stop talking about crypto and fucking Quentin Tarantino movies and shit. It's funny to imagine that version of God. But, you know, the Lord told Oral Roberts to buy a kick-ass Buick, and he did. And, you know, that worked out great.
The Lord told Kenneth Copeland to get a new private plane because demons fly commercial.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So he said that God told him to start his cryptocurrency business as a, quote, wealth transfer for his people. Now, he's saying he knew it was a scam the whole time, but he thought he'd be scamming people who weren't part of his congregation and accidentally scammed his own followers.
Right. He was saying, I was trying to help good Christians scam heathens with this, is what I was trying to do. But it's like, how would the heathens even know to get involved with the, you know, if you're just marketing it straight to your Christian followers anyway? But
I do think it's refreshing for these guys to admit that it's about who's left holding the bag, because that's pretty honest. But like doing it on the behalf of God seems pretty fucking bleak to me. Regalado and his wife said their cryptocurrency platform, quote, blends biblical kingdom principles of wealth creation with cutting edge blockchain technology.
What does that mean? Like
nothing.
Right. Exactly. It's such like corporate babble, technical bullshit, gobbledygook speech that people do in the business world, the money world, and all that stuff. It's always just like buzzwords strung together, makes you sound like you know stuff, but it don't.
This kind of stuff is what turned me off from organized religion, but honestly, makes me feel more Jesus-y in my heart sometimes, because it's like there's no way to blend biblical principles with wealth creation.
Right.
It's kind of the whole fucking point of the book. Mm-hmm. Like Jesus Christ. He did admit he posted on Facebook that he felt like a fraud, but that the feeling stemmed from a, quote, misunderstanding of how to receive God's grace. So Jesus didn't make a mistake when he told him to start a fucking cryptocurrency exchange and make a crypto coin. He just misunderstood his instructions on specifically how to do it, and that's his bad. And for that, he will not be giving you back your money.
Right.
But he will feel bad while he's singing his renovated kitchen.
Yes. You can find it. I'm sure Jesus can see to it. You find it in your heart to forgive him as these guys, the Lord's way.
There's a whole debate going on in evangelical circles right now about which large language model chatbot to use best to talk to God and to make your prayers with. And I'm like, what the fuck are you guys? You're undoing the Protestant Reformation.
Right.
By turning ChatGPT into the Pope.
Yeah. Everything is so, so weird. But mm-hmm. We got honorable mention for Daily Dumbass for you. I guess I'll keep it simple and just say that it's Gilbert Arenas.
So what happened here was there's a video. The Daily Dumbass Trey read a few minutes ago that we had edited around was it was cops for not adding a right to number twos into the Miranda warnings. But the video of Gilbert Arenas complaining about how the cops would not let him take a shit before they put him in the police car got deleted for some reason because the internet fucking hates us. So anyway, we're going to talk about sports gambling and Gilbert Arenas. All right. So Gilbert Arenas got arrested for running a poker game or owning a house where a high-stakes poker game took place. Okay, but if you want to understand who Gilbert Arenas is, he's a former NBA player, really good player, three-time All-NBA, All-NBA, three-time All-Star, played for the Warriors, Wizards, Magic, I forget who else, I think the Grizzlies. For context, back in 2009, he got hit with some criminal charges and suspended for a long time because he pulled a gun on Javaris Crittenden, a teammate, over a $1,100 Blu-ray debt. Crittenden pulled a bigger gun back, and he was very lucky because Crittenden later ended up in prison for actually killing a guy. Mm. So, pulling a gun over that $1,100 Blu-ray debt cost Arenas $7.5 million in lost salary, if you want to understand how his financial brain works. And he also had $200 million in career earnings. Crittenden did not. So, there's no reason to not pay your gambling debts. He also once took a shit in another teammate's shoe, and he acted with a former Wizards teammate named Eton Thomas in a dramatic production of Our Town. So he's a real Renaissance man about town, okay, just to set the table what Gilbert Arenas is like.
Yeah, he was known for being a wild son of a bitch back when he played and everything. It's just he's been out of the league for a while now. But weirdly, I guess it isn't weird because there's stuff going on with him, but I just sent you guys a clip the other day of him, Kwame Brown, calling him a dumbass over and over. I hadn't thought about Gilbert Arenas in forever until that popped up on Reddit, and now he's all over.
The reason that clip popped back up is because he got arrested for being a huge dumbass.
Right.
So
as he is wont to do.
So the FBI put out this arrest warrant affidavit, and they got to flex on him because this is one of the stupidest crimes ever. I wonder why they worried about it, but that's another thing. His nickname, because he wore number zero, was Agent Zero, or Hibachi is another name he had. But they called him Agent Zero all throughout the fucking arrest warrant affidavit. Also, I didn't know Arenas lives down the street from me, so that's cool. A much nicer neighborhood, I'm assuming. So they charged him with one count of operating an illegal gambling business, conspiracy to operate an illegal gambling business, and one count of making false statements to federal investigators. He owned the mansion, and feds say he rented it out to a guy who staged the house for poker and collected rent money for him, and a different co-conspirator is accused of hiring young women who served drinks, provided massages, and offered companionship to the poker players in exchange for a tax on their tips. So they were pimping.
Okay. So I was going to say this is like a Molly's Game type situation, but also with tricking and hookers and stuff like that. Because at first I thought you said he got arrested for having a poker game in his mansion. And I was like, I've been to a Hollywood mansion and played poker before. I didn't know that was it. But it was just a bunch of boring people.
Yeah, I mean, where you're really getting into trouble is the house is taking a cut. That's what makes it more legal.
Right. Because like a casino or something, right? Like you're operating an illegal casino or something like that. Yeah.
But talk about the extent of the lack of trying to get away with it we're talking about here. The poker club, which Arenas did not own or run, he wanted to look like he did. He had a custom made poker table that had Arenas Poker Club emblazoned across it, which is like you selling drugs with Trey Crowder branded Fent on the baggie. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be doing this. I feel like we should start a side podcast. It's like this is not what you want to do if you want to get away with these crimes type shit.
Right.
Adding to the intrigue here, because I can't at a time when everyone's gambling on their phones, I don't understand why the federal government gives a shit about some rich guys playing poker.
Yeah. I mean, no, I'm with you. I know he's a complete dumbass in so many ways. And also, again, you add in the pimping part of it, whatever, and that definitely complicates it further. But in general, yeah, that's what I thought too. It's like, it's a fucking poker game. Like, who really gives a shit? But if they're up to, other nefariousness, then I suppose that's different.
Right. But but charge them with the actual shit. Charge them with sex trafficking if they're really running a hooking ring, right? But like, right. like so. But adding to the mystery here, another one of the guys charged. The FBI described him as a member of an Israeli transnational organized crime ring. A guy by the name of Yevgeny Gershman, an Israeli citizen, who's also charged with a woman, an American citizen by the name of Valentina Kojakari, with three additional counts related to a conspiracy to commit marriage fraud. Like, Yevgeny was trying to marry her for a fake green card and pay her for it. But, like, how high level of a transnational organized criminal can he be if he can't get into America without paying this woman to marry him? The whole thing fucking, like, the feds are up to something here. It's nothing to what they're saying they're up to. But, right. like, whatever. Time out. Matt, do you have the video?
Arrested him. You got to use the restroom, man. I'm just trying to tell you, they don't treat you right. Nah, but everybody was in there, and they're nice. Like, well, so what was crazy is the who arrested me, I played the in basketball.
All right, so he went, yeah, it's a different clip, but you guys get the Marinus's vibe.
Yeah.
So where we're at in America with gambling, man, I keep waiting for this huge backlash to happen, like, because people are getting fucking ripped off constantly. Athletes are getting caught cheating all the time. And, like, the gambling companies aren't even making money. And everything about it seems really predatory. And through that lens, I want to talk about, I know this is something we disagree about because you love, like, legal gambling. And I think it's a fucking societal
scourge.
Plague.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely think it's bad. What I definitely think is bad is the leagues themselves being so, like, in bed money wise with big gambling operations and stuff. Like, that's bad for fucking everybody and for a lot of reasons. Do I think generally that a grown adult should be able to gamble on a sports game if he chooses to, or he or she chooses to, in this country? Yes, I do think that they should be able to. But, you know.
Right. That's why I think there's a compromise position here, which is we should have to settle that at some point, where it's not just like whether or not it should be legal. It's specifically how it's fucking legal.
Right.
Right. Like, I can't think of a good reason for, like, for everything being a prop bet.
Right.
But if you guys don't gamble, prop bets, like when you bet on a specific outcome of, like, a very small, oftentimes a very small thing, like the coin flip at a football game, or, you know, whether or not a role player will have over under 2.5 rebounds or some shit in an NBA game. That allows for a lot of fuckery potentially from players. And that's why I want to talk about two pitchers for the Cleveland Guardians, two relief pitchers by name of Emmanuel Clase and Luis Ortiz, who have been disappeared by the fucking team. Like, they cleaned out their lockers. They're just gone. And the rumor is it's related to a gambling investigation over prop bets. Although no one really knows what happened with Clase. With Ortiz, they're talking about two specific pitches that happens in games in June, where there's a lot of irregular betting activity related to whether or not the first pitch of the second inning, his second inning, would be a ball or a strike. Okay. I want to watch what happened. I want to show you what happened on June 15th when an inordinate amount of betting action was happening on whether or not his first pitch would be a ball or a strike. And yes, the voice you're going to hear in this video clip is renowned character actor J.K. Simmons, who is sitting in on the booth.
Our son, because I didn't do it.
Pedro Páez leads off and takes one there.
Just a bit outside. He threw that ball so far in the dirt, Victor Wembanyama, if he crossed over sports, couldn't fucking reach it. And so, like, yeah, well, pitches get away from somebody, but somebody had something irregular was happening with the action on betting that would be a ball, and it was definitely a ball. Okay.
Right. Yes, because it's like it's much more easy to get away with, this, you know, you would think, than, like, throwing a game or throwing a match or something like that. Like, you also, like, you could probably talk yourself into a lot easier as an athlete, because it's like, well, I'm not throwing a game, which still the whole, I'm not screwing my teammates over, I'm not doing all that, I'm throwing one ball on one at bat and making this amount of money to do it. You know, why wouldn't I do that? It'd be stupid not to do it, you know.
Right. And it's the first pitch of the inning, so no one's on base, like, there's no, like, right. So there's a lot of reasons you can, like, rationalize and justify it, but it's super against the rules and illegal,
of course.
And it's really like a pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered type situation, which is sort of how I think we should think about the whole gambling phenomenon, because these guys should have been able to get away with this. And for a minute, I thought the reason they weren't is they were doing it too often. They were throwing off their averages for like for their ball strike ratio. And you know, professional bettors notice that kind of thing because the computer models they build notice any aberration for betting purposes. And they build it in their models to get a slight edge because they're betting thousands and thousands of bets, small bets, right? So like, but I guess instead what they had, they figured they couldn't do it often to get away with it. So somebody put like millions of dollars on this one super prop bet about whether Luis Ortiz would throw a first pitch ball. And the feds are going to notice that. Mm-hmm. The betting apps are going to notice that. And so Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, who's Republican, has been the first politician I've seen call for any sort of legislative, like regulatory pushback against this kind of stuff. He's called for the Ohio Casino Control Commission to remove these kinds of prop bets specifically from the state's sport books, which I think is a nice compromise for everyone involved to make everything a little saner and less corrupt. Because, like, the people that got left holding the bag for this, Class A sold stakes in his future earnings to 282 random investors through some fintech bullshit. So if his career is over, 282 people lost a combined $300,000 they had paid him for his future earnings. So he also scammed these people because he was gambling. And I'm just saying, like, this, like, maybe you should be able to buy stakes in professional athletes. Maybe you shouldn't, but, like, yeah.
I'd never even heard of that until just now, I don't think. Is that like a more moneyed person's version of sports gambling? Is, like, buying a slice of an athlete's career or something? I had no idea you could do that. That's crazy.
It's happened, but like I've heard about it happening under the table with like people, like boosters giving college kids money in exchange for chunks of their future earnings at college back when paying college athletes is illegal. But I've never, but like I'd heard of like versions of this, but I never heard of it being this organized. Someone has built a specific financial product,
mm-hmm.
like derivative swaps you can buy on fucking athletes with their tendons and shit.
Right.
So yeah. By the way, I Googled Guardians Gambling to do more research for this story. And, one of the first results was a headline of the New York Post today. BetMGM bonus code post bet for $1,500 in bonus bets for Mets versus Guardians on Monday. So yeah, everything's going normally. As far as a fun sports gambling thing, I wanted to talk about this happening in WNBA for a second. This is a phenomenon that's happened a couple times. Play this video map.
Activity, yeah, and no one's picked the object up yet. You guys, oh my god,
that is a neon green dildo on the floor of a WNBA court that someone has thrown out there. It's happened a handful of times, I think at least twice. It's become sort of a meme to go to WNBA games and throw a lime green dildo on the court. Bet Online has started offering prop bets where you can bet on what color the next dildo to be thrown on a WNBA court will be. It's like a total of six different prop bets that you can parlay. One asks the color of the sex toy with six different options. Should the device not be green as it's been so far? Another bet asks how the sex toy will be handled first by whoever takes it off the court, with hands or feet being the two options. So if you can sneak a dildo into a WNBA game and pick it up with your feet, you can make hella bank off of it.
Yeah, because I was about to say, I don't, that one, like with players, you have to have a player on board with the, you know, mm-hmm. with whatever it is that you're running, the scam that you're running. But with that, I don't see how you couldn't, like, just a person who lives in a WNBA city couldn't just make a bet and then buy a dildo and throw it mm-hmm. from the crowd and hope for the best, you know, which I guess is what anybody that's throwing a dildo from the crowd is doing. But
yeah, so the ticket to the WNBA game is like $30 and a dildo is like $15. And it's the odds that BetOnline's giving is plus $1,400 if you bet 100 if it's a blue dildo. So
this is a blue dildo. But I guess you're running the risk that someone else is going to have the same plan at a different game and beat you to it. And then you end up being the second blue dildo. So you don't win. But the first dildo was still blue. It just wasn't you.
Anybody. Right. Even if anybody beats it to it, your bet still pays off and you don't get in any trouble. It's a win-win if somebody else does it first.
Right. Yeah.
That's what makes it so
brilliant. Not if they have a pink dildo, though. If you get scooped by a pink dildo and then you think your bet was on blue and then you're left, you know, holding the ball bag of the dildo.
But blue is by far the next best odds are plus 300. So it's a sucker bet to do anything but blue unless you want to fuck over everybody else betting.
Right.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy. But Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
When does the next Sparks game, Mark? Sure, there's a sex shop on the way between here and there.
Yeah. Fly Corey out, he'll smuggle it in his butt.
That just also that Bills Mafia, Buffalo Bills fans, when Tom Brady played for the Patriots, they would traditionally throw dildos on the field whenever the Patriots came to Buffalo, I think, just because Tom Brady's a dildo or whatever. You know, you get it.
Yeah, I get it.
Anyway, all right. Well, let's get into it, shall we?
So we're splitting the difference here. We talked about sports, you know, cool guy shit in the first half. Now we're talking about math in the back half of the show, some real nerd shit, okay? So talk about labor statistics, and it won't be as dry as we're framing it. But basically, Trump didn't like the numbers in the latest jobs report put out by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, so he fired the lady in charge of the agency. And a lady by the name of Erica Mentarfer. Sorry if I said that wrong. He's not supposed to, you know, one of these people he's not supposed to be able to fire statutorily, but whatever. He just does this shit now. And here's Kevin Hassett, the director of Trump's National Economic Council, trying to explain this in a way that's pretty revealing, but also very, very fucking stupid.
Numbers wrong. Do you have any hard evidence that you can present to the American public that these numbers, these revisions that were reported, and there were plenty of revisions under former President Biden, including right before the election, do you have any hard evidence that these numbers were wrong?
Yeah, there is very hard evidence that we're looking at the biggest revision since 1968.
Are you going to present that evidence?
If you look at the number itself, it is the evidence.
But just saying it's an outlier is not evidence, Mr. Hassett.
It's a historically important outlier. It's something that's unprecedented.
Still
so unprecedented.
It's still not
I've been
evidence,
looking at it
though.
For 40 years, and I'm like, it must be a typo.
The numbers are so bad. They must be fake.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty disconcerting that that's right. The rationale. Like it's like,
if the altimeter says you're about to fly to the side of a mountain, it must be wrong because I am a good pilot. Therefore, there's no choice but for me to smash the altimeter.
Mm-hmm.
Or to put a gun to someone's head and make them tell me it says I'm higher than I am. Right. So as far as Trump's theory of what's happening here, that like they're putting out intentionally bad numbers just to make him look bad, it's not even really possible with the agency structured. The commissioner, who's the bureau's sole political employee, even though Mecantar had been a career, she got politically appointed as a promotion, but she's been with the agency a long time under both parties. She's the sole political appointee. She's not control the numbers the agency publishes or even see them until they've been finalized by a staff of career technocrats. In order to collude or fudge the data, literally hundreds of people would have to be in the conspiracy, but none of this is ever leaked. There's no way the head of BLS could have manipulated this number. The numbers, and also the numbers are in line with what we're seeing from all kinds of private sector sources. The Bureau of Labor Statistics actually came in with better numbers than private agencies that collect similar data.
So are those private agencies, are they like sounding alarm bells over it then? Do they agree that mm-hmm. with what that guy just said as far as the like, this is historically bad thing, or
they do think it's historically bad, but their numbers are even more or worse.
I know that. Well, that's what I'm asking, because I didn't know. Yeah. You know, I didn't know if that was just all bullshit. You know, where it's like, oh, I know that he's bullshitting. I'm just saying, I didn't know if these other corroborating sources like agreed, like this isn't just alarming. This is like historically bad.
Well,
stuff.
And let me say. One of the research agencies I'm talking about is called ADP, and their numbers are like their job numbers came in like 2/3 of what the BLS's was. So like if Mecantar had to be fired, then ADP would have to be executed. for how bad the numbers are. Okay. And as far as whether or not this is going to solve the problem, the number two guy who gets the automatic promotion is also a career technocrat, and he has the job for the time being. So they're going to have to do this again next month when the job numbers are worse in order to fire their way down.
And then
some guys
going
to
they got to
do another political appointee who's going to do this shit, because these people have are career economists and researchers. They're not going to throw away their reputation for Donald Trump. It's they have to work later. It's like their entire life. I think
100%.
Economics is largely voodoo sometimes, but they can't count stuff.
They're clearly going to try to get this second guy to play ball, right? And we're saying he won't do that because this has been his life and career. So then they have to find someone who's not. I don't know why they even promoted that guy to begin with, given who's in charge of the FBI and fucking all these other, the fucking real world guy and stuff. Why didn't they just find some dipshit that's not at all qualified and appoint him to this position so he'd just give them whatever numbers they want to be given and fucking pretend everything's fine?
They'll get around to trying to do it, but the Senate's not in session. They have to confirm
and or whatever. Right. So this is the acting person.
Yeah. Okay. So specifically why Trump's mad, the number of new hires for July were extremely anemic. Talking about 73,000 jobs nationwide. But also the BLS revised down numbers for May and June. Here's a chart of what we're talking about. See that white area?
Yeah.
That's revised down May and June. They revised down 85% of the job numbers.
And pretty stark.
Yes. So you guess you can believe it's a conspiracy if you want, but you got to understand how this process works. I get that very few people are interested in trying to understand how this process works, except for us and the people who listen to this show. But what they do is surveys. They basically wait for a bunch of different companies, employers, and state agencies to call up and say how many people they hired or how many people quit. And you're like, well, there's got to be a better way to do this. And you're like, well, tell me what it is.
Right.
So you can have a militantly armed agency go around into employers, put guns to people's heads to make them tell them the numbers sooner. But these are voluntary reports as currently constituted. So then the people are busy, and sometimes they hand in their reports late. So you get your first round of reports, you do an estimate. And then when the PX get the actual data, you go, actually, there weren't as many jobs as we thought because we didn't get this industry is doing worse than the others. And they reported that. The Bureau of Labor Statistics has been very transparent because they got hit with a bunch of DOGE cuts and a federal hiring freeze and funding cuts and a corresponding drop in survey response rates. The former commissioner of BLS did an entire episode of a podcast called Odd Lots about this, where he's talking about how they're going to really struggle to get accurate numbers. So they come back and actually our numbers weren't accurate because we had difficulty with this, and it's worse than we thought. And they're like, well, you're fired. It's like, well, fuck, I told you we couldn't count on with this little resources you give us, so I don't know what to do. There's also the part where this happened routinely under Biden too, where he'd get a strong job or stronger jobs report and then it'd get revised down later. Exact same thing. And when Biden was president, Trump would say that was a conspiracy to help Biden.
Right. By he saying it was fluffed up to begin with to look good and then later quietly revised down to reflect the reality of what happened and when people wouldn't notice. That's how it works when it's Joe Biden in office. But when it happens to him, then it's a conspiracy in the exact opposite direction.
Yeah. And this is just part and parcel of firing all the medical experts, the vaccine boards, the climate change experts. Some lady in Louisiana, environmental scientists, just got fired from a college for sampling water and noticing that there was pollution in the water. She's not even in charge. She's not the person in charge of penalizing a company for poisoning the water or even calling for anything. She just got fired for noticing that there was poison in the water.
Mm-hmm.
We're just making noticing illegal, Trey.
Right.
And I just want to say, if you thought the Great Recession was bad, imagine a Great Recession, but this time the government promises you that it's not actually happening.
It'll be interesting to see. Cause I thought of that too, just because a lot of people that are Trump people and voters and stuff, they thought that was their opinion on what was happening during the Biden administration. Do you know what I mean? That's how they acted and thought about the economy under Biden. Is fucking, you're bullshitting us and expect us not to know it when eggs and gas are this much. It's fuck, we know what's happening. We can see it. And if that does happen now in the coming months under teetering on the precipice of a recession, whatever it happens under Trump, I just wonder how they will react to that because I'm betting it'll be different. I'm betting they'll just swallow what the government is telling them this time. Obviously, not everyone, but a lot of people.
For sure. But like, there's like, what these statistics are used for, and this is like an intro elite fight. We don't really, the rest of us, like the 98% of us, don't really have a stake in this. We just get fucked by it.
Right.
But what these numbers are used for are trillions of dollars of capital allocation. And without those numbers, the business dickheads who in other times we'd all like to, you know, redacted, mm-hmm. Those guys are going to be fucking fuming mad because they're not going to have any idea what's happening in the markets, which is why there are other indicators here. These businesses are going to know when their clients go under.
Right.
Right. They're going to know that they're not selling as much stuff because more people are unemployed. ADP is going to notice when they do their own job surveys. Like in our society, as yet, you cannot suppress shit to the level that you need to do to run an authoritarian society. Mm-hmm. You just can't do it. They don't have the infrastructure for it. Like Fox News is not enough to make people think they aren't fucking jobless, you know?
Right.
So like, but this elite, like Masters of the Universe type business dickheads, I keep waiting for them to start flipping tables because like the tariffs are part of this. All this stuff is like part and parcel of all this shit. And like the one guy finally flipped a table. The director of the American Enterprise Institute took to social media over the weekend and posted. Let me read here. Trump fired his guy named Scott Winship from the American Enterprise Institute. President Trump firing the BLS commissioner is appalling and honestly would be an impeachable offense in a better world. He's correct, but like this is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not like being a sex criminal or like the Salvadoran sodomy prison. This, like, whatever takes you to get here, man. But I guess welcome. But like Larry Summers, you know, that Clinton's former cabinet secretary, director of Harvard, the world famous economist. He took a break from stammering about why it was totally cool for him to have his own seat on Epstein's plane. To go on ABC and said this is worse than anything Nixon ever did. No, it's not.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
He's just fucking with your livelihood. Right. Like, well, is that worse than bombing Cambodia?
To these people, that's always been the thing. You don't fuck with the money. Because, I mean, you were saying it's like you've been waiting on the flip tables. That's come up, I don't even know how many times since even the first go around with Trump, but since he got reelected and stuff, and they just keep posing the question, it's like, all these big money people that we're always saying actually run shit in American politics, like they cannot be okay with all this, right? Because they're getting real fat off the status quo and things working the way they had for the past, you know, however many years, at least post Reagan, they were fucking, and I still think they were still squeezing people too much and bleeding people too dry. And it was fucking heading in a direction where it would, you know, they would bite off more than they can chew, but still it was pretty profitable for all them. You would just think that they would be not on board with him just wantonly tearing it all to fucking,
I like how you say wantonly, like it's
wantonly,
a Chinese food.
Wantonly.
Wantonly. So this American Enterprise Institute guy, like the AEI is like kind of think tank that like usually spends its time writing reports about how it might be more economically advantageous to burn your grandmother for heat in the winter instead of natural gas. And like, they're like, this is too much. It's like, okay, well maybe like, I keep waiting for somebody who fucking matters to like, to care about this shit.
Right.
Which is like, the part of the reason, even though the Senate's in recess, Trump can't do a recess appointment is who's the majority, Republican majority leader of the Senate? It's John Thune now, right? I feel like.
Yeah, I think they're gaveling.
Even though they're out of session, they're technically speaking in session. Somebody's flying back to D.C. to like gavel in and out every 3 days. So Trump can't do a recess appointment specifically so he can't appoint some moron like paper eater to be in charge of places like the BLS. So that's their form of resistance. Mm-hmm. They're still going to appoint somebody really, really bad, but like they want to have some say in it. The thing about trying to cover up this crime is the evidence is already out there. It's like it'd be like if Arenas tried to say he had no idea what this operation was going on in a house he owned with Arenas poker club ingrained on the table, right? So let's talk about some economic data we have right now. So throwing out the pandemic, which is, you know, an outlier for a lot of it, you know, with the economy for a lot of reasons. The current unemployment rate for college graduates over 25 is rising fast and is higher now than any year since 2014. Job growth in the past 3 months, the lowest since 2010. Spending on services, especially travel and tourism, has declined for three straight months for the first time since 2008. Consumer spending is flatlined, construction and manufacturing are contracting, and employment is set to fall. And because inflation is on the rise, the Fed can't cut interest rates to combat all this shit. Like, seeing an economic collapse with, like, basically full unemployment is so fucking funny. It's the four-minute mile of economic mismanagement. And it's purely, like, tariffs and throwing out all the work. Like, the reason unemployment rate's low is because, like, right now there's a bunch of, like, white people with college degrees trying to figure out how to be roofers because Trump deports all the fucking roofers.
Yeah.
This is no way to run anything, dude.
Yeah. I mean, I know this means actually nothing and it's purely anecdotal, but I travel all the time as a comedian. And I used to say while Biden was still president, I mean, I'd hear the bitching all the time about the economy and stuff. I used to say to my friends and shit like that, and probably said it on here, is like, look, I know that price of eggs is high and all that, and the fucking housing crisis and all that shit is real, and I'm not trying to act like it isn't. But I know the economy can't be doing too bad because I've been traveling regularly for work since 2016, and the last couple of years of the Biden administration was just insane in terms of every airport and every city I ever went to was fucking packed to the gills with people going somewhere and doing something. It drove me crazy because it was like fucking Disneyland crowds at any airport you ever went to. And I was like, that has to be indicative of something. There's more people traveling than usual. And now recently I have been noticing that it's less so. Like I'm anecdotally seeing the number like go back down, and I've been, even though it used to annoy me, all those people in there, I'm now being alarmed by that. Like, I find that a little ominous, yeah. You know, because, again, I don't know how much it actually means, but it's got to mean something, and just kind of feel a storm coming.
Yeah, I mean, like, right now, a few economic researchers are saying that basically, like, we're already in a full-blown recession except for a few basic industries. Like, the overall, like, I was reading a piece earlier today. The overall economy, the numbers look fine. That's basically because of two industries. Capital expenditures for AI, artificial intelligence, contributed more to growth in the U.S. economy in the past two quarters than all of consumer spending.
Well, that's even worse because that's right. Not real. Like that, you know, mm-hmm.
Right.
Like that's a dot-com bubble situation waiting to fucking happen.
And the other thing, they basically like the sanest like in between takes about AI like is that like this is something akin to the dot-com bubble, but just like the dot-com bubble, it'll burst, and the computing power will have uses. It just won't be with what they're planning to do for AI. So it's not like it'll all be a total waste, but it's a depressing thing that like a bunch of people are investing a bunch of money in trying to impoverish and make the rest of us and make us unemployed, right? Mm-hmm. So the other sector that's doing well right now is healthcare spending. So if the bubble pops in AI and at the same time the government cuts a bunch of healthcare spending, they just put themselves on track to do. Not sure what's going to happen because we won't even know what's happening to the economy because they'll just say that everyone's working when they're not. So I'm not fucking know what to do. Do you know what the stripper index is, Trey? Talking about other economic indicators that we'll have access to that aren't the BLS statistics.
No, I mean, I know about like SEN stocks and things like that. And then there's the Waffle House Emergency Index. I know that one, but I don't think I know the stripper index.
So basically, like the first thing that drops off in a recession is discretionary spending. And there's kind of nothing more discretionary than tipping a stripper for a lap dance.
Right.
Because you don't need a lap dance at all. You don't need to tip anyone to be at a strip club and have a beer and look at a dancer from across the room. It's uncouth. You're supposed to tip if you whatever, you know what I'm talking about. So, but I went and checked one of the biggest publicly held strip club companies is RCI Holdings. RCI used to stand for Rick's Cabaret International. Their stock's down 39% year to date. I surfed across this TikTok from a dancer, if you got this video, Matt, just talking about recession indicators. They really do have their finger on the pulse.
Ever going to notice a recession? I feel like as a dollar tripper, one of the first places that you are ever going to notice a recession happening is in a spicy club. One of the most telltale signs that we are in a recession is, as a dancer, I used to constantly get asked by customers where they can hit the slopes in the club, if you know what I'm saying. I haven't been asked that question in months, nor am I seeing customers do it as much. Which just goes
to- people don't have coke money anymore. It's sound the alarms, dude. bad news.
that's like no one's buying a Coke from the guy in the club anymore. Well, man, this is a hard time.
I mean, if you think about like the 80s fucking Wall Street, you know, Reaganite yuppie era and stuff, that's also mm-hmm. when Coke was through the roof, right? So, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. makes sense to me. As Coke goes, so goes the American dollar. I don't know.
So, good news for other kinds of sex workers. A bunch of OnlyFans women are performers are saying that the stripper index does not apply to Bitcoin on OnlyFans. So, good news for your mom, Dre. So, I'm not really sure what the plan is here. Like, you got to hope that a bunch of people would trying to lie your way through this problem. What you're trying to do basically is to hope that people with $200,000 in college debt don't notice that they're working very poorly as like construction workers, while hamburger is $11 a pound because Trump's trying to use tariffs to spring Jair Bolsonaro from the Huascao in Brazil. Which is, I don't know if you're following that story or not, but it's fucking nuts. We're tariffing a country we have a trade surplus with because they're trying to hold a former president accountable for trying to overthrow the government. Yeah.
Yeah.
Another aspect of this is like the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics is also responsible for calculating the Consumer Price Index, which is used to set the annual increases for Social Security. So if they put out a fake report saying that inflation is not actually going up, your grandma's purchasing power for a Social Security check is going to be way down. What I'm saying is the Golden Girls and Golden Bachelor January 6th is back on the table, baby. What's the biggest problem you ever tried to lie your way out of? I've got a few of them. It never worked.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, yeah. I'm a terrible liar anyway, so I don't think I've ever lied my way out of anything of note.
No, the best I've ever gotten away with is I'm late to work because my tire was flat. That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of move that's been tried before in other countries, and I'm sure it's been tried in ours in various ways. It's maybe not this many times at once. Like countries like Argentina, Greece, Soviet Union, and it usually doesn't end well. Like a guy named Olympi Kvitkin was a Soviet census official, was arrested and executed when his population count came in lower than Stalin had announced. So I'm not sure, like population count went down by one more, Joseph. I'm not sure what the hell you did there.
Right. Yeah. You said this is a move that's been tried before but which move? The like Trump and Stalin
lying in official statistics.
Right. Yes.
Government statistics are used for stuff. Like
We're not right. They're accused, but right now we're not saying that anyone lied, right? They're saying
Stalin executed the guy for being honest.
Right. Which is what just happened to this lady, except she's not dead.
Right. She got fired. So the falling out of the windows comes later. But just talk about even just the economic officials getting fired for being honest. A guy named Andreas Gorgiou, I did Greek name. Sorry, Andreas, was criminally prosecuted back in like 2009, 2010 for reporting accurate deficit figures when he was the head of Greece's statistical agency. Let me quote here from Andreas. If society cannot see itself clearly, then it cannot identify its problems. If it cannot identify its problems, it cannot find the right solutions. If it cannot find the right persons to solve these problems. So, but Andreas, what you're missing here is what if you built the whole society around the society not seeing itself clearly?
Mm-hmm.
Precisely so, specifically so we could not identify our problems. What if we just didn't want to know our problems?
What if you just convinced a huge chunk of the society to also pretend that there are no problems? Or, well, not those problems anyway. There's plenty of other non-existent problems. Trans people and immigrants and fucking shit like that. You know,
I had a relative who like had blood in his stool and just ignored it, and then he's dead now.
And died, right.
Right. So you can ignore problems. It's nice for a while.
Right.
But we're learning all these old lessons about like couple weeks, like when we bombed Iran, it's like, okay, we're speed running the second invasion of Iraq in 2003. And like, we're learning all these economic lessons from the 1920s and 30s and 1890s. But like, I want to go back to an older lesson here from my homie Plutarch.
Love Plutarch.
Plutarch rules, baby.
Mm-hmm. He's no Pliny the Elder, or is it Cato the Elder? Oh, those are both guys. A bit more of a Cato, the younger guy myself. But anyway, I don't know. Yeah. I'm sure that guy's a monstrous pederast. I don't know. I'm just saying names that I know. They all were. Anyway, what did Plutarch say?
Yeah. Plutarch was like, he wrote a series of books. I forget, it's called Lifetimes, I think, about various like powerful people. This passage, he's talking about Tigranes, who's an Armenian king, and Lucullus, who's a Roman general. He said, quote, since the first messenger who told Tigranes that Lucullus was coming had his head cut off for his pains, no one else would tell him anything. And so he sat in ignorance while the fires of war were blazing around him, giving ear to only those who flattered him. So Tigranes is dead now. I think you need me to tell you that.
Right. But like, well, it's like, so they always like, say, always shoot the messenger. It's ancient wisdom there.
Yeah. And there's a like this old Soviet joke I was reminded of. Soviets had great. We're going to get some great jokes out of this guy.
Yes, pain brings humor. Everyone knows that. Long understood precept of the pursuit of comedy in general.
Yeah. So the conceit for this this joke is two guys are talking in an airport, and the first says, "Why was the flight delayed for an hour?" The second says, "The pilot saw a problem with one of the engines, but it's okay now." "Wow, you replaced an engine in an hour?" "No, we replaced the pilot."
Mm-hmm.
Good job.
Yep.
It's funny, like, to be an American, to be raised in all this American exceptionalism bullshit and, like, the evils of the Soviet Union. It was evil. I'm not about to do some tanky fucking defense of the Soviet Union right here. I'm just saying, like, we're taught that, like, the main problem with the Soviet Union was socialism. And, like, it wasn't. It was authoritarianism and corruption.
Yeah. Right. So, well, like, it seems to me like the common theme there is fucking people and men, right, and stuff like that. So it's like the problem with any of the systems ends up being corruption and authoritarianism and all that, which you'll get out of any of them if you don't, properly police it, because that's just what people do. Absolute power corrupts absolutely and all that stuff. It's all pretty true. So,
yeah. And to quote, I forget which founding father was it, like, we know that no men are angels, we set the devils to watch themselves. So, but anyway, we decided to undo all that to give one man the authority over everything, including how many people, like what the report says, how many people have jobs. So it's just what we're doing for a little while, at least. I don't like it. Not a fan.
Let me just ask you real quick, so I think we got a couple of minutes left. What you think, like, briefly about the thing in Texas, situation in Texas, like the Texas Democrats fled the state because as a last-ditch effort to keep gerrymandering from happening, and now they're trying to – Ken Paxton wants to round up a posse. They love posses, bring them back, fire
them. This has been kind of routine since I lived in Texas in the early 2000s. Like, it happened, like, I think 2003. So traditionally, the census is done every 10 years, and you'll do redistricting after the census, right? Mm-hmm. So 2000, 2010, 2020, 2030. Republicans randomly started doing midterm redistricting in Texas in 2003 because they finally took the unified control of the state government after Democrats had a long time held it. So they decided to just re-gerrymander it. And that time state legislators fled to Oklahoma, I think. And eventually they sent the Texas Rangers to like arrest them and bring them back. So they had a quorum so they could pass a redistricting plan. This time they fled to Illinois, where they're living on the dime of J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois, who's a billionaire, who can afford to put them up for in perpetuity. So this is pretty funny. And the Republicans are acting like they're going to – they have a way around this. Maybe they do. Maybe they can just like – they can unseat everyone. So
yeah, that's what Abbott's been saying, right? That's what he's been threatening, is that he can just somehow unseat the ones that are absent. And
but like if you don't like this kind of pissing shit – like Oregon Republicans do it all the time, where they'll deny a quorum. And my general stuff on this is like, I get that politics isn't beanbag, and I don't really care about people doing stuff like legislative chicanery stuff. I care about whether they're doing it for good or for evil. Mm-hmm. I think trying to stop a state that's like I think people's votes should matter.
Right.
So I think when a state is like 54% Republican or whatever, it should be something approaching that in the congressional representation. It's not going to be exactly that, obviously, but like it shouldn't be gerrymandered where it's going to be like 25-3 or some shit, which is what they're trying to do. And they're going to get to this like Democrats are going to try to retaliate with. I mean, they drew their maps unfairly for Republicans in New York for reasons that we don't even need to get into, because the New York State Democratic Party is fucking useless, feckless, and incompetent and corrupt. California Democrats could very easily gerrymander a full Democratic map, which I don't think is, again, in a perfect universe, I don't want my fellow Americans who are conservative not have congressional representation.
Right. But it's like a no, I agree too. Gerrymandering as a concept, I'm you know like against, but like you know the as far as like fighting fire with fire, or the idea that if they if like California did it, made it known that they were serious about doing it, that you know then it'd be like how California passed like gun control laws when black people started buying guns in the 70s or whatever, like that there'd be a response like that to it, maybe like if it came to that and California was actually going to do it, that that would make them fucking chill, or you know or it would actually become illegal or something for everyone. I mean, I don't know, but I just it's like you said,
they open up a bag of worms they can't really contain, because like you the only way to make it a more gerrymandered map is to weaken the incumbents. So in a wave election, it might not work out the way they want, although the computer models are so good now, they might be able to figure it out. But like, I saw some Democratic representatives being like, we don't want to be hypocrites about this. It's not hypocritical to be like, I am against gerrymandering. I will support a bill to end gerrymandering nationwide by using a nonpartisan computer modeling system to have like contiguous compact districts that are representative of the people with sort of similar populations. But until that point,
right,
I'm going to try to gerrymander to get enough people who agree with me so we can pass that bill.
Law to get gerrymandering. Yeah. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yes. That would hit. So we'll have none of that. All right. Yeah. Thank you guys for watching. Appreciate it. Reminder, go to treycrowder.com. Check out my upcoming tour dates. Come and see me in Indianapolis this weekend and then Austin and St. Louis and a bunch of others after that. Also, check out Trash Daddy while you're there. Listen to producer Matt's new audio exclusive called Good Skews if you want some uplift in your life and to hear from the man of mystery himself. And consider supporting the show on Patreon. Go to weeklyskews.com/more or just go to Patreon and search for my name. $5 a month gets you access to 2 full-length bonus episodes. But either way, keep watching this one on Skews Days. We'll keep doing them. So we'll see you next time. Love you. Bye.
Skew.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.